I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, so we now know, it happened a couple hours after we went off the air yesterday, that it was a tornado that hit Montebello. And what also came up later on, I saw 11 buildings have been red tagged. We're going to go to Blake Trolley for more details on this big weather event.
What kind of buildings are they?
Yeah, guys, every single building that appears to have taken on that real serious damage, these are your warehouses, your kind of industrial buildings, maybe your manufacturing plants. I know one of them was like a recycling company. So it's one of those general industrial areas. But what is interesting is there are actually homes mixed into this. You remember yesterday we talked to the guy who had his home damaged. I was looking at a map. I'm going, are there actually homes mixed in there? And there actually are homes mixed in between these industrial buildings. But as far as the significant damage goes, it goes to those industrial buildings, those kind of back road buildings, big parking lots. And again, these are recycling companies and manufacturing plants, things of that nature. 17 buildings, guys, were damaged in total. As you mentioned, 11 were red tagged, meaning they're no longer safe to be in. Warehouse roofing was ripped up in a lot of these cases. Just a walk down the street today, I was taking a look. There's piping falling down. Some of these awnings have just crashed. I got to look today. I saw some video from the inside of one of these, and it kind of looked like when somebody smiles and they're missing teeth because there were just these pieces of ceiling, you know, that kind of a mixed metal ceiling with just big holes in it. One building had its roof almost collapsed completely. An HVAC unit was ejected from the top of a building. Skylights were busted. We talked about that power outage yesterday. What that was from was a power pole that completely snapped and a transformer blew off, which, you know, caused a gas station to lose power as well as a traffic light. Police were out having to, coordinate traffic. And also, guys, and this is still very evident to, you know, at this time. In fact, I saw a whole car, a whole truck of these being loaded up. Damaged cars. This is from that flying debris. I know at least one car did actually have its bumper ripped off, but a lot of cars, just a walk down the street, you see them with their windshield smashed, the side of the car smashed. One of the cars I was looking at, I mean, the front end of it just got banged up. I don't know what ran into it, but it was seriously banged up. If not, it almost looked totaled. And yeah, it was just a very intense storm. But what's interesting, guys, is yesterday I told you that the National Weather Service was going to use this damage to assess not only if this was a tornado or not, but how strong of a tornado it was. So all that damage that we just laid out, And this was determined to be what's called an EF1, which is essentially the second from the bottom in terms of strength. The only thing below it is an EF0. And an EF1 means winds were moving from about 86 to 110 miles per hour. The strongest a tornado can move, that EF5, is more than 200 miles per hour, so almost double. Forecasters say this thing only hit the ground for about 2 to 3 minutes. Its path was about a half mile long and about 50 yards wide. And again, they say winds were quite calm, and then boom, chaos. This thing just came down out of nowhere and really rattled the area. I talked to this guy yesterday. He actually works. His building somehow did not get touched, because just across the street, we were looking at a roof that was completely coming apart, pipes falling off of this one, and just completely torn up. Were people bracing for cover? Were they running? What was happening?
You know, when there's chaos, there's a whole lot of everything, and you know, sometimes your mind tends to shut down, and people were directing traffic. We were all running back into the building. We shut down the warehouse, the doors. You know, that's, and then any drivers that were in our yard, we gave them access to our building to come in for shelter.
So your building was obviously not touched. Cars were not damaged, but we're hearing buildings were damaged. People who were parked in these parking lots took on a lot of damage. Do you feel pretty fortunate that you had a better outcome, I guess you could say?
Extremely fortunate, but at the same time, I feel horrible for our neighbors. You know, this area where we all work in, we kind of know each other. We don't know each other, but by sight, because we pass each other every day in traffic, I feel bad for them and the owners of the company. You know, hopefully all the insurance will take care of all that.
You know, you have to think, when he talks about everybody bracing for cover, there had to have been a moment of disbelief. Like, is this actually happening? Are we actually running from a tornado?
You know, there wasn't much warning, I guess. LA? There was really no warning, huh? No.
No, it came out of nowhere, Ken, and I guess that's pretty common with tornadoes is, you know, things can be very calm, and that, you know, they form way up high, and then they just come down and touch ground. So, yeah, not a lot of heads up for anybody over there.
All right, thanks a lot, Blake. We appreciate your report.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yes, John.
No, they had one in Carpinteria, too, in that mobile home park.
That was also confirmed.
That was an EF0.
An EF, well, then that means it was lesser than the one that hit in Montebello.
Less than 86 miles an hour.
But those were mobile homes. They probably didn't fare as well as buildings, maybe. It just got roofs torn off. Did any mobile homes get carried away to some other parts? Or?
You know, I did see. I think they had some minor damage.
The word is that there are an average of 1 to 2 tornadoes per year in L.A., Ventura, Santa Barbara, and San Luis Obispo counties. 7 to 10 across the state. And apparently this was the worst since 1983. Did you read about this one? The tornado stripped part of the roof off the Los Angeles Convention Center before roaring south along Broadway. This is downtown L.A., ripping apart houses, smashing brick storefronts. More than 150 buildings were damaged, and 32 people were hurt. That's 40 years ago, so most people probably don't remember that.
That was a very wet, stormy winter, though.
Yes, and then in 1990, one ripped through Pico Rivera, damaging a few homes.
The Carpinteria tornado damaged 26.
Mobile homes?
Yeah, it was in a mobile home park.
And what's worse, man, if it takes a mobile home up in the air, you don't want that coming down on you.
Unless
it breaks into pieces, I know. So it's just so much debris goes flying around after these things. So now we had our excitement. I predict it's over. There may be a little rain next week, they think, but I think as we move into April, we're not going to see anything like this.
Usually what happens by April.
Yeah, but we've become the Midwest and Seattle kind of combined.
Yeah,
cool temperatures, raining yesterday, a tornado.
Well, it's exciting, though. I mean,
for Oklahoma and Seattle,
I lit up when I saw on TV that there were tornadoes going on. I was like, ooh, now.
And they also have to close the 71 freeway in Pomona to repair those potholes. It'll be closed in both directions from Peyton Drive to Mission Boulevard for several days, including some full closures.
Well, you want to hear this?
Parts over the weekend.
Hear this story that was on the TV news last night? People have been calling in about these huge potholes on the 71, and Caltrans isn't filling them all. And they talked to some dud, and I mean a Caltrans dud, It's like all those slugs that give Goldstein talks to every time he finds a scandal in government. Okay, so one of these duds was on a Zoom call with the TV reporter, and he's incoherent. I don't know what the hell he was saying. He's trying to explain why it wasn't getting done. The reason it wasn't getting done was they had turned over a section of the freeway to a private company to do construction. Hmm. And I guess, I don't know, under the contract, the law, I don't know what it is. But that private company is responsible for filling the potholes.
I think I heard that story. I think they're from Spain.
Yeah. Yeah. So good luck getting some guy on the phone in Madrid to get a pothole filled on the 71 freeway.
That's like what they do with high-speed rail. They subcontract with all these European companies.
That's still a taxpayer-paid road, and Caltrans still has the jurisdiction over it. And these potholes are so big. You had like 15 cars wreck their tires.
Weren't you reminded of the homeless problem when everyone says it's not that side of the street? It's not. That's county and we're city, or that's federal, or it's always passing the buck and pushing it aside.
Is that on the top of the page whenever something happens and you have to deal with the media or you have to deal with the public, right? The first thing you say is, well, technically it's not our jurisdiction, and then blame it on anybody else. Because you're at the other end of the phone. What do you know? What are you going to do?
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, tomorrow the Moist Line returns to the airwaves of the John and Ken show in the 3 o'clock hour. So a heads up for messages. You can still leave some. Use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon. Leave a message directly there for the Moist Line. A lot of people do it. Or call the old toll-free number and be a phone voice. 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Is anybody hungry? Anybody at all hungry?
I'm always hungry.
Why, are you going to ruin our appetite?
Well, actually, it comes from a category of food that she likes. We're going to serve up a Kamala Harris salad right now. On the John Kennedy Show.
One of those gourmet word salads.
It really should be a special menu item. It is a word salad. And you know what? It's on a topic that she will be a part of, John, which is Women's History. Women's History Month. This is March.
Yes. A permanent place now.
It seems to me like every month now is something commemorating something.
You know what? And it's never any group that I belong to.
Oh, that's sad. There's no Polish radio talk show month.
There's no middle-aged Polish guy month. Never.
We'll see if we can do anything about that. Any congressmen we can lobby? We have any friends anymore in Congress? Not really.
No middle-aged, straight, white Polish guy month.
Women's History Month. So there, of course, was an event at the White House. You notice we don't cover this much, but I see it in media online reports. Biden's been bringing like all these celebrities in for special commemorations. They stand there with the White House spokeshole in front of the press. And some of the, apparently it broke down in chaos the other day because it was an event that they were commemorating. And one of the reporters, and I think he's an African correspondent, was complaining loudly. Yeah, he never gets called on. And he kind of broke down the whole thing. It was the Ted Lasso team that was there from the...
That guy...
The Apple show, Ted Lasso.
That correspondent, I love that guy.
Because, yeah, we played him before.
No, he does this regularly. He never gets called on because he's completely out of his mind and he starts shouting at the press secretary.
Oh, he harangues her, yes.
And he always has some incendiary question that at a
left
field.
And he did it to the last spokeshole, too.
He's
been doing this for a couple of years.
That's his thing. But, you know, nobody's going to ban the African correspondent from the White House briefing room, right?
Yeah.
So he's got status there, and he never gets called on because, you know, it's just crazy town. So he decides, well, you know, I'm just gonna insert myself. It's my turn now when I say so.
Now, here's about 15 seconds of Kamala Harris on Women's History Month.
So during Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history, who saw what could be unburdened by what had been.
Wow. They're calling it circular talk, where she inserts the same words and the tenses kind of get twisted.
But she does this almost every time.
History throughout history. Unburdened by what had been. Unburdened by what had been.
Unburdened by... She has
grammatically
used,
weird.
She has used that phrase before, too.
She has. She does get stuck on certain things.
She has these stock phrases, and then she has this repetitive tick in her brain where she'll repeat the same phrase or word several times in a sentence.
Yeah, she's not a public speaker. Although it's surprising because as a DA, and you have to be in court and you have to present cases and you have to be cogent in front of a jury or in front of well, not even as DA, but before that she was an attorney of some kind.
I remember her. Yeah, she was an attorney and she was district attorney.
Attorney of San Francisco.
And attorney
and
general.
She was our attorney general.
Right, okay. And then a senator. And I remember when she was a senator, she was questioning Brett Kavanaugh specifically on... during his Supreme Court nomination hearing, right? And she was obnoxious and offensive, but she was coherent.
Somewhat cogent, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to... All right, so something happened, right? Like Biden, you could look at tapes from, you know, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you could see that, okay, the dementia is eating his brain and he doesn't know what's going on anymore, right? But what's her story? Because she's still in her 50s. And between this and the giggling, I'm trying to, what are the possibilities that is causing this brain disruption? She didn't used to speak like, if she spoke like this, she never would have made it.
Well,
running for office anywhere. She didn't. She didn't speak like this during the debates either.
She didn't, but those were more isolated snapshots of her. Now that she's VP, there's media covering her all the time. So they're picking up and she's got to make a lot more of these quick little appearances and statements. Well, I think she was always like this, but it didn't get picked up as much because she didn't speak as often.
I think there's something up there. I'm telling you. I think you ought to be doing blood tests.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration has issued a public safety alert regarding something we've talked about for quite a while now on the show because we keep an eye on these topics. Tranq. That's the animal tranquilizer, xylazine. And it does rot your flesh.
Does it make you talk at a word salad?
I don't know. That's a good. It's a good question. They've been mixing it into fentanyl, and fentanyl, of course, is something that was a step up from meth. And they're mixing fentanyl into all sorts of opioids. But Tranq has come on the scene. Actually, it's been around a few years, but it's hitting more and more cities. They believe it's now in 48 states, known as Tranq dope and zombie drug. It is approved by the FDA for veterinary use, but for people, it can cause flesh rotting, sores, and respiratory depression. Often cut with heroin, dealers are now mixing it with fentanyl as an inexpensive way to make highs last longer amid the opioid epidemic.
So they think it somehow disturbs your blood circulation, right? Ruins your blood vessels.
Right.
So when you stop getting blood to your extremities... it starts to rot. The flesh starts to die. Or if you have even a minor wound, it can't heal. And then the rot spreads.
Oh, dear God. This New York Post picture has a guy whose leg is...
Yes, I know. Oh, my.
Oh, no, that is a zombie. It looks like bullet holes. But it's all scarred.
No, it is. It looks like special effects.
No, that has to be amputated, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can't save that leg.
No, he's probably going to die in the streets.
I don't know if it's a man or a woman. It's just a leg picture, but...
He's going to die in the streets of some kind of rot. He's literally going to rot to death in the streets.
All right. And we'll just stand by with Narcan, which, by the way, may not work because this drug is that powerful.
No, right? And it's widespread in Philadelphia, and they think it's all over the country now, and it's only going to grow.
It's called necrosis, the rotting of human tissue.
Yes, the death
necrosis.
The death of human flesh.
Oh, my God.
So they're walking around with dead, rotting flesh.
Philadelphia was the epicenter, but now it's being seen in almost every major city. We told you it's come to California.
Yeah, we're going
to
be seeing it in the streets here.
Oh.
So people are dying in the streets in L.A., 2,000 a year. Now... the ones that are still alive are going to be walking around with rot, you know, like a zombie movie, like a horror movie, right?
Yep.
And except this is real. This is real. And everybody just stands there and watches this happen.
Right, because they use the old cliche, the war on drugs is a failure. Enforcement doesn't work. It's just like the homeless problem. Well, they now what you're seeing with the drug thing is the drug people are saying, well, let's just keep coming up with new additives, new things to get these people even more hooked.
So they I think I mentioned this yesterday, but I can't get this number out of my head. In 2 days early this week, this was a Bill Malugin story on Fox. The Border Patrol confiscated 2.5 million fentanyl pills in 2 days just at a border stop near Brownsville. And they say most of the fentanyl doesn't come through a border stop. They inspect every car coming in. So that's how they found the 2.5. But the cartels bring most of the stuff, you know, just over land away from the checkpoints. 2.5 million. And you know, a handful of grams, like 2 or 3 grams, can kill you.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, we're on from 1 to 4, so pick up the show using the podcast, John and Ken on Demand, right after 4 o'clock. You can find it at KFIAM640.com, the John and Ken page, or, of course, that lovely iHeartRadio app. We return to the saga of the fence around Echo Park Lake. Days, maybe even a week late, the El Segundo Times sent 2 reporters to cover the debate over whether or not the fence should come down. The council member who took over the district is the Democrat socialist Hugo Soto Martinez. We already threw in the dumpster for his announcing we're going to take the fence down. Then he kind of put a hands up and said, well, wait, I'll have some town halls to discuss it. The first town hall he had, overwhelmingly the people that showed up want the fence to stay up, say the park is much improved since the homeless were removed back in 2021. So the Times and their crack reporters are David Zanheiser and Andrew Campa did a story where they did lead off with an elderly man, a retired social worker, who said that he's had a front row view of the chaos that was in that park when the encampments were there from 2019 to 2021. Shootings, fires, physical fights. His sleep was repeatedly interrupted by late night partying, amplified music, and screaming from the encampment. 4 people died in the park, including an 18-year-old from San Diego County who overdosed on drugs. This man says that while he won his campaign, which was he says he was going to remove the fence, but now he has to govern and represent all of us. And a number of other people that they talked to at the beginning of the story were also in favor of keeping the fence up there. Nancy Ochoa, she's only 34, hustled her two children out of the park 2 years ago after seeing a man screaming and waving a gun. Yeah, I think I'd leave the park too.
You know, this is really silly. And it's part of like our inverted universe. Clearly, there was a lot of crime and frightening things going on there, especially for a park, right? I hate to go through all the cliches, but it's supposed to be family and children.
No, you're right. It is an upside-down society now where, you know, the next person they interview is saying, well, that was a community in there. They took care of each other. They were, like, self-sufficient.
I'm sorry. Put a plastic bag over your head. I just don't want to hear it anymore. No, it's not a community any more than a mental hospital. The psych ward's a community. No, it's not a community. And stop equating the two. And stop with this, well, one side says, the other side says. Oh, in fact, I saw that in the LA Times today in one of these stories. Some say that defense has improved things. Some say that defense is unfair. Stop with the some say, okay? This is a 100% issue. You have the fence up at night, it keeps the vagrants out. You have it down, you're going to get the 200 people back, along with all the drug addiction and the violence and the screaming. And these are criminals, and they're mental patients and child molesters and psych cases. I mean, stop it. All right? That's what Hugo Soto Martinez wants, a park full of mental patients, drug addicts, and criminals. That's what he wants. Just say it out loud. Stop dancing around it. Stop with the euphemism. Stop with the some say, okay? It's a 100% to nothing when it comes to what this is. It's 100% criminals and psych patients and drug addicts, period. End of story. Now, do you want to put 200 or 300 of them together and have them live all night? And then you're supposed to take your kid in the morning to go play on the swing? Come on.
He has recruited volunteers. This is Soto Martinez, including, of course, members of the Democrat Socialist of America's LA chapter. And they come back and tell us, well, 50% of the people we talk to support the fence's removal. Just 18% oppose it.
Oh.
The remainder are undecided or don't care.
Yeah, okay, sure.
That's their loaded poll result.
Sure, they interviewed 50 homeless people. Stop. Okay? Stop with the man on the street poll from the Democratic Socialists of America. Right. See, that's the thing, and it's presented as if it's a fact in the LA Times, as if it's a legitimate argument. No, it's not. In no normal town, no normal town in the history of America or the history of any other country would they allow 200 or 300 lunatics in a residential park like that. It's impossible. Hugo Soto Martinez is with a group that believes in anarchy, that believes in undermining the American way of life. Just go read what they represent online. Look at the groups they're connected to, like Antifa. Hugo Soto Martinez is a major figure in a group connected to Antifa. Antifa has one way of undermining our safety. Martinez has another, more stealthy, subtle way of doing it.
So he's promising that if they bring the fence down, they'll have social workers out there to make sure there's no new encampments. And they'll immediately get anybody that wants to plunk down in the park into some sort of housing.
Well, I got a park I go to 3 times a week to work out, play tennis. And
yeah, I'm surprised that park didn't get taken over.
Well, because if you met this guy who maintains the park, he's in charge of the park grounds.
Was he a city worker, though?
He's a city worker, but he's an unusual city worker. And he is actually very meticulous, very proud of the work he does. And I asked him, we've had a few talks about this, and he said, I go, what do you do with a homeless guy that comes here? He goes, as soon as I see him, I say, out. You can't stay here. Move along.
Oh, he'll get a lawyer.
And he said, if the guy really presses it, he goes, I'll make it clear that I'll do what I have to do to get rid of him.
Doesn't he let him stay around for a day or so?
Nope,
he gets rid of him?
Nope. Immediately. Stands there. Got to go. And now, I've seen...
There aren't enough workers like him around, obviously.
But the thing is, that's what you do. That's what you... And you can have a city worker do it. You can have an ambassador. You know, you can have a cop. Whatever you want to call it. But you have to have the presence of somebody who is going to be strong and decisive and say, you are leaving now. Pack it up and go. And if you have to fight him, then you have to fight him. But he's got to go.
I believe in the end, he probably will take the fence down because now he's claiming in this article, that's why they elected me. Really, that was the number one issue why people voted for you, was to take the fence down around Echo Park Lake.
People barely pay attention to who they vote for and why.
Oh, I'm sure the total votes in that district was really low.
Yeah, no, the Democratic Socialists of America.
Versus the population.
They've done a good job. You know, they do the ballot harvesting. God knows how these people get elected, right? Because now you know, the whole system is fraudulent in this state with ballot harvesting.
Oh.
So, you know, you have ballot harvesting in a district where there's a lot of immigrants, illegal immigrants. Who knows? Who knows what the vote total is? It's whatever they say it is.
All right, we got more coming up. It's the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll bring back the moist line to the show. You can still leave messages using the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon is a way to connect directly. Or call the toll-free number, available all the time. 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We're going to lead off next hour by citing a column in the El Segundo Times by one of the oldest writers with that newspaper. He's been there since about 1922, maybe. George Skelton, the Capital Journal columnist, who admits, and even 2 years ago he would not admit, that high-end earners are leaving the state of California.
Yeah.
And he just passed that on to his editors and the rest of the people at the paper who refused to accept that. But he lays it out. He's finally in. It's only 2 years ago where he insisted this wasn't true.
Fake news is what he wrote two years ago.
He called it fake news. He admits he was wrong.
It was wrong when he said it. He's a joke. Yeah. I know a number of people who have money who have moved out. They either moved out entirely or they're living part of the year in another state to get the tax benefits, or they're contemplating it. They're actually looking for property. He's a fool. Everybody who denies this is a fool because they're waiting for data. It's like, you don't wait for data. Data always looks backward. Data will tell you what happened 2 years ago. What's happening now has been going on for a while. It makes me crazy, this stuff. Everybody denies reality.
All right, we'll get into that and more. We'll keep an eye on the LA Unified School strike with a live report coming up later on in the show. Earlier this hour, we played Vice President Kamala Harris with a word salad at the Women's History Month event that occurred yesterday. Biden, he uttered a head scratcher too. Let's listen to the audio.
Like the most significant gun safety law in 30 years. Help keep guns out of the hands of domestic political advisors.
What he said there, I don't know, Women's History Month, they were discussing guns. Keep guns out of the hands of, and he got applause, but he finished it, domestic political advisors.
Play that again.
Domestic political advisors. Like the most significant gun safety law in 30 years. Help keep guns out of the hands of domestic political advisors.
Domestic political advisors.
Well, it makes sense when you realize what he should have said, that this was a women's history event. He meant to say convicted domestic abusers. It's not even close.
The White House actually put out a revised transcript of what it was supposed to be.
He got the word domestic right.
But it was in the wrong place, though. To keep the guns out of the hands of domestic political advisors, and then they crossed a line through domestic political advisors and put in parentheses next to it, convicted domestic abusers. So there's somebody getting paid with tax money at the White House who's got to clean up the official transcript and try to translate what Biden meant to say. How does he get to it? There you go. We know that what's happening in his brain. We know, like, biologically what's going on in there.
Today, apparently, was an Obamacare health reform event, the 13th anniversary of Obamacare. And apparently a child in the audience was wailing, and Biden announced, I like babies better than people. So babies are not people? And then they eventually handed him the baby, which he stared at and made a strange face at. But
at least he didn't drop the kid on his head.
You still don't think he'll make it through the term?
No.
Okay. Well, we're halfway there, so we're more than halfway there now.
Every day is another day closer.
I know, but will he make it to the third year?
I don't know.
Oh, all right. We've been making predictions. You said he wouldn't make three.
His brain died. I need to get credit for that. I accurately predicted the death of his brain.
He wasn't much different from this when he was elected, though.
Oh, I think he's considerably more.
You do, since he was elected? Not when he was VP. I know you like to go back to those days. But
well, because that's when he was operating at full power.
No. But I'm talking about when he was elected in 2020. I thought he was pretty bad.
Look what he doesn't do anymore. He doesn't speak off the top of his head spontaneously in any setting.
Yeah.
You know? He can't even do the scripted stuff. Obviously.
See,
right?
Well, that was the thing. When he was running for president, he didn't have ad-lib events, and they actually kept him pretty close to the vest. He didn't make a lot of those appearances. Early on when he was running for president, remember he had that meltdown with the guy in the audience he was going to fight?
Right. So
that's when I knew he was really losing it.
No, he was losing it, but COVID was the great gift for him. Hmm. I don't think he gets elected without COVID happening. Because it
isolated everybody.
It brought out the worst in Trump, and he could plausibly hide in his basement and not make any appearances. And so he got extraordinarily lucky that COVID broke out. He wouldn't be the president otherwise. And he's probably going to run, if he runs a second campaign, he's probably going to run a similar campaign and hide in the basement. He can't be out amongst the public. He will have temper tantrums and blow up and act crazy, because when you have advanced dementia or Alzheimer's, you lose control of your emotions. You can't take any stress or pressure. But he's got a big staff to lie for him. Yeah. And that's very common in presidential history. John Kennedy had a big staff that lied about all his physical problems and all his sexual proclivities. So did Clinton. They covered up Franklin Roosevelt being in a wheelchair. Most of the public never knew he was in a wheelchair, and he was president for 13 years. Oh, going back to Woodrow Wilson, had a stroke. His wife ran the country for about a year and a half. He was debilitated with a stroke. Public never knew.
But that's then. There's too much media now and too much coverage to conceal anything that big.
But look how respectful the media is towards him. I mean, look how willing they are. They all know how addled he is, and all his aides probably talk off the record about it. And everybody's got, and you'll see the books. Like, you know, like the old crazy books that came out about Trump? You're going to have you're going to have books about just how addled Biden was the whole time.
All right. When we come back, we'll be talking about something we have been talking about for years. People are leaving the state of California. And importantly, the people that are leaving are income earners. People who have the wherewithal to look around and say, well, maybe I can't afford to live where I want to live in the state, because a lot of other places are awful in California. So I'm going to go somewhere where, you know, my salary can carry me to buy a decent home. And this, of course, gets denied by the politicians in Sacramento and a lot of the media writers, including most of them at the El Segundo Times. But one of them today admitted in his column that there is an exodus, particularly of high-end earners. We'll talk about it when we return. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.